hunting for that magical genie with piles of cash? Join Candace and her guests as they uncover financial secrets, have a laugh at past mistakes, and savor financial rebounds. Thank you for listening. Let's dive in and do something today that your future self will thank you for.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Money Flow Genie podcast. I'm so excited to have here with me Jason Jasper. It's fantastic to have you here. He's a colleague of mine in another mentorship program that we do with real estate. It's an honor to have you here because your story is very enriching and inspiring to many people in our audience. Jason, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Candace. Thanks for the opportunity. And as you mentioned, the other mentoring group that we're in, both yourself and many others are just so welcoming, so friendly, and it's such a blessing to be a part of. A little bit of back history about me. I grew up always being a serial entrepreneur, ambitiously lazy. I'll do a lot of work to get out of doing more work in the future, you know, always looking for an opportunity to be my own boss, to have that passive income. As I would read Kiyosaki and read some of these others that talked about setting up business systems that would continue to pay you whether you're working or not. I remember vividly from the time I was 8 years old, pushing lawnmowers, washing cars, doing whatever I could to make a little bit of income here and there. And you got to pay for candy and other stuff when you're a kid. Those bills don't stop when you're young either. But I remember vividly having my very first actual W-2 job when I was 13 years old. I was making $3 an hour, mowing lawns, doing gardening, roofing, painting apartments and houses, and all this stuff for this property owner that we knew, family friend of ours. I remember getting my first check and I had already done the math in my head, $3 an hour times so many hours. My check's going to be amazing. And then walking down the driveway from one of the apartments to the house that we lived in and opening up the check and learning that FICA beat me to it. She got into that envelope before I did. And I remember stopping in my tracks thinking, what just happened? Like I got robbed. And it was like real world come crashing down on my little 13-year-old mind. The very next thought in my head, before I had ever heard anything about the 45-year plan or working till you're age 65 or retiring, I had been playing that in my head. I'm like, no, I've got to work till I'm 55. I think my grandpa retired when he's 55. So at least 55, 65 years. How many more years of this? And it was just devastating to me. I don't want to do that. I don't want to break my back for the rest of my life trying to do this. So anyway, fast forward, trying to plug into as much resources as I can, thought that I was a financial genius, right? Making these passive income flows and different stuff and trying to follow some guys like Kiyosaki and heavily leveraging debt and all this stuff until 2007 and 2008 hit and the polish got wiped off there and all the pride went away and realized I wasn't a financial genius. I was just someone who was over leveraged and in debt to the max, couldn't pay the bills, really hurting. And I think God used that to kind of school me a little bit, get rid of that pride and remind me of, hey, you don't know what you don't know. There's stuff I need to learn and I need to be able to feed my family. I need to be able to provide and then get back on that track to a passive income lifestyle or a meaningful lifestyle where the 9-to-5 isn't what keeps me because I'm working for a purpose. Through God's grace, by his providence, we were led to a leadership development system and they plugged into every area of life, including finances. They led with finances a lot because most people are hurting. Most people don't know what they don't know in the financial realm. It's kind of become a huge help to us and a benefit in that we plugged in with people who had the fruit on the tree. It was no longer taking advice from theoretical experts who were selling a late night infomercial spot and, you know, they're posing with supermodels and a hot tub on the, you know, the back of their private jet when really none of that's theirs. It's all on credit and they're only making money by selling me the book or whatever. But actual people who had the fruit on the tree, people who I could walk up, shake their hand, look at them face to face and see their lifestyle. I could see that they no longer had a job in their 30s. They drove nice cars, lived in nice houses and everything was paid for. Everything was cash and just that, hey, this is a real thing. It's possible for anybody if you follow the right steps, if you plug into the right systems. Fast forward over the years, tried a lot of different businesses, tried a lot of different stuff for myself. And about 2020, I got involved in the real estate space. Finally, I'd always thought of and pictured back to the guy I used to work for, pushing a lawnmower and doing roofing and stuff like that. And he owned something like 500 doors in Southern California. That was huge. He had a great lifestyle. had a lot of money, but at the same time, he was working himself to death. He was originally a plumber by trade and was just working all the time. I'm like, I don't want that. I want something different. I always thought that was the only way into real estate. So I kind of put it out of my head a lot. And the idea that you had to be heavily leveraged and scrape by on maybe 50 to a couple hundred bucks a month and pray the air conditioning doesn't go out or the roof doesn't need to be repaired because then it decimates everything you've got. And so around 2019, 2020, I had a buddy introduce me to land flipping. We started off learning from him, learning how to buy tax sale property. I bought my first three properties for 50 bucks a piece out in the middle of Arkansas. Within a few months, I sold my first one for 700 bucks. This is insane. This is amazing. This is the easiest money I've ever made. So I just dove in full speed into land flipping. I got involved with the Infinite Wealth guys, Infinite Wealth podcast, and they taught me a lot about life insurance and about making flows of money, becoming your own banker, which is an excellent book, by the way, Nelson Nash. I'd recommend any of your listeners pick that up and start diving in. I started using that to eliminate debt as well as fund properties. Over the next few years, I just kept rotating. I took that original 150 bucks. After maybe 6 months, I dumped another 1500 in to move into some larger acreage purchases, but just kept rotating that system of flipping land, buying it cheap, flipping it for more, selling it cash, selling it on payments, got involved in the Land Geek system and paid for their training through the income from the land. And now I purchased something like 28 or 30 different properties over the last couple of years, have sold all but I've got six of them that folks are making payments to and got a few hundred bucks passive coming in from that. And we'll have that for several more years if they don't pay it off early. And then I've got three or four other parcels that I'm still sitting on. End of last year, I discovered Scott Jelinek with the Slow Flip program. I saw one of his infomercials. I'm like, hey, this seems interesting. Bought his book. And it blew my mind, the idea that you can purchase houses so cheap and do the same thing I was doing with land, but with the actual houses that people wanted to live in, that people desired immediately. That was where I felt the shortcoming of the land, where I could buy a piece of land and sit on it for a year or 2 years and just hope to find the right buyer. And eventually it'll sell, but it's just that waiting game. And now that I've moved into the Slow Flip program and again, used the proceeds from my land business to pay for the training there, to pay for subscriptions and everything I needed. Now that I moved into the Slow Flip business, my first property was a little bit of a rough sell, but it literally sat there for 3 months before I had a buyer. And then my second property, I bought just a couple months later. Within a week, I got a buyer in there as well. And now we're actively working on finding our third. Through my whole financial education, I've kind of landed somewhere in the middle. I don't see myself as like while I'm very debt averse now because of all of our experiences and everything I've learned, I don't see myself as a Dave Ramsey side of things where it's just hunker down and, you know, don't use debt at all. But at the same time, I'm not on the other extreme of a Robert Kiyosaki. Debt is the best thing ever. The more debt you have, that translates into your wealth. I like where Scott Jelinek is right in the middle. Nothing can buy that peace of mind. No amount of money can buy that peace of mind of having debt freedom.
Absolutely.
We're happy to report, due to the wise mentoring we've received and the financial disciplines we've put in place, we purchased in February our first slow flip. And as of the beginning of this month, September, our first slow flip is paid off. And it is now just been a couple months of having a payment come to us. I think we moved that one for 640 bucks a month, including taxes, insurance. So we've had a couple of those payments come to us and we don't owe a dime on it. If something happens with a tenant buyer and they move on their way, there's no stresses. There's no mortgage. There's nothing. We have that peace of mind. On the second slow flip, we moved that for $850 a month. It was a little bit nicer house, larger, nicer area. $850 a month payment. First one is coming due in about 5 days. We are hammering away on that debt and we owe less than $20,000 on it now. And the same plan, just rinse and repeat as fast and as hard as we can pay them off and stack them up to get the passive income coming in. And then also we're trying to be very disciplined on the finances that are coming in. You know, we pay our partners. We've made a decision to make our business model where we don't have private lenders, but we take on partners, close family, friends that trust us with their money, and we're able to give them a high rate of return and actual partnered ownership. My two daughters have both been, I have adult daughters, 18 and 21, and all they know is financially fit dad, because my youngest was born in 2006 and was too little to understand what happened in 2007, 2008. And my
right.
was not, you know, was only 3 years older. All they know is we need to be good with our finances. We need to honor God and what He's blessed us with. And being blessed in turn, part of our calling to love our neighbor as ourself, means when we're blessed, we're also going to be a blessing, and we're going to turn it around, and we're going to help our churches, we're going to help charities, we're going to help local communities, we're going to do whatever we can to make a difference with the time that we've been given. Due to the mentors and the system, both of my girls have known nothing else when they get any income. You know, when they would get doing extra chores or jobs, babysitting money, whatever, they would right away give the 10th tithe to church. And then they would take 40% through a strong recommendation from dad and mom. 40% would go into their long-term savings account. We would instruct them from very early on, this is not to buy a car, toys, and, you know, eat outs and Starbucks and anything else. Your long-term savings is only to buy assets that will produce cash flow. Now that we've been raising them up, even when they got jobs outside of the house, they stuck with that plan. They kept tithing 10% and taking 40% of their income, putting it into their long-term investments to start creating their financial house. Even with my wife and I, and, you know, people raise their kids all different ways, but we don't pay for anything. We'll keep a roof over your head. We'll keep you fed. We'll take care of your schooling, all that kind of stuff. But if they want a cell phone, a car, auto insurance, a gas, it comes out of their pocket. And we're very proud of them. They work hard and they take care of all the responsibilities. But on top of all that, they're already investing. Through this journey, my biggest partner investors through our first two slow flip houses and in some of the land deals have been my daughters. They have come in and dumped multiple thousands into each house we've had, and they don't plan on slowing down. Now they see the slow flip money coming in every month. Right. They've already created, you know, at 18 and 21, they've already created, I think their share, it varies for each house, but I think their share for the two houses combined right now is almost $200 a month passive income for these girls.
And that's like normal income that the average person would have if they owned a rental unit, but they don't have any.
It's just passive income because they bought ownership shares in this family property investment.
Oh, and that's so great.
Now they can't stack money fast enough. Now that they've seen a few months of me making the Venmo transfers to them of their share every time someone pays the mortgage, they can't stack money fast enough. They've both already been slamming their account. Like, when are we getting the next one, Dad? I'm going to be in for more this time. They're just jazzed beyond belief. All of that to say, it's been an amazing roller coaster ride. There's been a lot of heartache, sleepless nights, and ulcers through our journey as we've been learning. But then there's been amazing relationships and opportunities that we've had through the Slow Flip community, Land Geek community, and just even out in our church and our community. One thing I think I'd shared with you before we started here was, because of what we've gone through and our desire to be a blessing where we've been blessed, my wife and I have felt called to help people financially as far as counseling and help. Everybody struggles. Everybody feels the weight of finances, inflation, debt. They just need someone to come alongside and say, if you do A, B, and C, we can start moving you towards the finish line of getting your debt eliminated or bringing your wife home so she can be home with the kids and spend that quality time in those formative years. I make this offer to everybody I talk to. I'll email you our email, phone number, and if people can call and text, they can set up times to have Zoom chats with us, or if they're local, we can grab a cup of coffee and go over their stuff and help put a game plan in place to and point them towards the tools that'll help get them the right information so they can get their families free as well. So something we're really passionate about and look forward to offering to your listeners and your community as we expand.
That's wonderful. That's so much packed in everything you said.
I rambled.
Fantastic. No apologies at all. It's really important that the listeners, they're here to learn, and you just gave a ton of information in that. We're gonna dive in a little bit deeper into that. And I have many ideas, but this is part of the podcast. One of the things I do is I like to have the self-praise showcase, because we're not taught that we can boast about ourselves and what we have accomplished. And one of those things that I like to do is hold space for, you know, people in the audience to have that and know that if they're proud of themselves, it's fantastic. And it's nothing wrong with that. And I also like to hold space for the guests to share their self-praise moment, whether it be a big moment or something small. I just heard lots of moments in your life, but is there anything in particular for you that you feel really proud of yourself in your journey towards financial freedom?
I am proud of the work we put in. My wife and I definitely don't want to leave her out of the equation. She's been amazing. I distinctly remember being like, okay, we're doing it. We're, you know, happy about this point. My wife is one of those rare ladies who doesn't like to spend money. And it's an odd thing, but it's also a blessing. I'm the spender in the family. I'm the shiny object guy, you know, latest, greatest tech. And I've got to rein myself in. But in this financial journey, we went from a point of not being able to pay the bills, red ink in our checkbook all the time, from a point where my wife literally called me or texted me when I'm at work, I'm working construction, and she would have to call to ask if she could go through a drive-through and spend 99 cents on a soda for herself. So she was that stressed about money that, we don't know what's going to happen. Can I do this? Can we afford for me to do this? To fast forward to this year, I was talking to her about the slow flip model and what I've been learning. And, I went through all Scott's training classes and I read his book and I've been studying from the community. And babe, I think I'm knowledgeable enough to jump into this. And me talking about making a 20 plus thousand dollar purchase on a house and her be like, oh, yeah, I trust you, whatever you got to do. And just go from that model, from those two opposite extremes. And that was one of those this year where I remember thinking, we're doing it. Like this, I don't like to praise myself because I realize that everything I have, everything I've learned, everything I've become has been through the help of other people and through the help of the Lord. But that was one of those small, like, hey, look at that.
Yes, that is wonderful. I mean, think about that. From 99 cents, not sharing if you had even a dollar to spend on a simple luxury. And a lot of people take it for granted that just zipping through the drive-through or grabbing something to eat or wanting a quick little snack at a convenience store. But that's a reality for a lot of people.
Yeah,
And to be able to go from that, and so a big applaud, self-praise for you for that.
thank
Not
you.
only, you're doing something, you're moving forward in this business. I personally love this business for the sake of the business model part of it that I have, which we'll share in a second. You've really moved, what a jump from a dollar to $20,000. Now, in the big scheme of things, when people listen to all these fancy podcasts about money, that doesn't seem like a big leap in the financial world, but it's an enormous leap emotionally to be able to make that decision that I'm going to do this. I haven't done this particular model before, but I've certainly done something similar with the land flips. And a lot of times people just need that one supportive person behind them to say, I'm behind you. And then that allows you to take that leap of faith and move forward. So congratulations. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
I
for
hope
sure.
that inspires our listeners to do look at what you already know, because the one thing I have to say about real estate is that people know more than they give themselves credit for. You may not know the nuances, maybe the contract to use or the process in this particular order to get to a property, but most people have rented in their lives. If you've rented, you know what it's like to be a tenant. You know what it's like to sign a lease. So you know about being a tenant, you know what a tenant needs and that you need to have a lease. So you just flip it into the other perspective. And so to go from land flipping, it's really not that much of a jump, but it feels like it when you jump into something that you're not familiar with, into the unknown. Congratulations. That's fantastic.
Thank you very much. I could not do it without the support of my community and my wife for sure.
Yeah. And I love the fact that you're bringing your faith into this as well. We are not entities created on our own. Whatever denomination anyone believes in, you do need to have some kind of belief in some type of higher power that's there to help you. If you let go, you continue to pursue and take the action steps. You do have to take action steps. You can't just sit and watch TV and then all of a sudden have, the doors open and everything land in your lap. But by taking the action steps, it opens doors. And the more that we believe that that will just continue to unfold in the steps in which we take, that if we have just that letting go and not that fear, that it opens more opportunity that we'd not possibly have imagined.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, I'll share quickly for myself. There's a housing crisis and it's gotten much worse here in Cape Cod. I had a good business, but it wasn't seasoned enough and I was moving. I was going to be losing my housing because vacation rentals were becoming popular. People were buying private homes, cutting them up into condos and selling them for vacation rentals. I knew it was coming. The apartment I was living in was going to be ending and where was I going to live? I wanted to stay here. I had my landscaping business. And it took a year for me to continue to look for a property. I was beginning to feel desperate that it wasn't going to happen because the investors was scooping them out from under me because I was at a financial position where I couldn't afford any more, maximum $200,000. And that would really have been pushing it for me. And then these are all old homes, so it would have to fix those homes up because they were like, 100-year-old homes. So that's a constant income going into the home. A year later, I'd already have my construction license, and a year later, I could see that in the little town that I wanted to buy in, that I just couldn't. It was the inflation, the prices were just crazy. So I went to raw land. I happened to have my contractor's license. I was just doing it because I was fixing decks on clients' properties. Turns out it was to my benefit. I physically built my own home, and which got me on this journey constantly, praying that please let this something come around and not giving up, because it's not an overnight success. Doing the next baby step, just like you did, from going from debt to now where you are. And this moving of money. Oh my gosh, this is so inspiring.
Yeah, thank you. Very exciting. Not only the money savings and the idea, but the amount of freedom and pride you're able to take in something you built yourself. There's ownership there, which alleviates the weight of crushing debt. And you don't have to tell me about house prices. I'm in Southern California, so
We're in the same boat. It's incredible. I
I
just
couldn't
don't even
afford to live
imagine.
out here if it weren't for the help of family members. But yeah,
Yeah.
definitely a blessing to have that ownership. And that's what we're working towards ultimately as well. We want to have a space where we can care for aging parents and have them set up, but also something where we can build equity ourselves and not just rent or be in a temporary position. But yeah,
Right.
good. That's good to
Right.
hear.
So you talked on helping others look at their finances. One of the reasons for this podcast is there's so much education out there, but it's not in the school system where it should be. If someone were having financial difficulties, how would you start to help them? What are some steps that people could do right now to pivot and change the trajectory of their lives?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. So the first place I usually start with people is, do they have a budget? That's not taught in school. I share my own, grade school, high school education. I distinctly remember from third grade and on, three different times, third grade through high school, three different times, our school curriculum taught me how to write a check. This is back when checks were used, way before this digital transfer, Venmo, everything zooming around the interwebs. But three different times I was taught how to write a check. And never once was I taught how to balance a checkbook, how to look at a bank statement, how to see on a credit card statement or a loan statement, what am I actually paying in interest? What am I paying in fees? Is this the best spot for me to be in? Should I be tucking money into a savings account and looking for opportunity costs later? None of that was ever taught to me. So we just go off doing what we're taught, which is none of the right things. We're marketed to constantly that it's good to be in debt and you
Yeah.
deserve it if you can make those payments. We get into a big problem and we develop a house of cards financially, which ultimately will come due. We'll be called upon to pay it. And whether or not we're ready or whether or not we can continue to build upon that house of cards is a different story. But I always start people there. Do you have a plan? You would never sit down to build a house without a set of blueprints,
Yeah.
without a budget in place. What is this going to cost? And do I have the funds to see it through? And yet, most people, let's say the average, just to make the math easy, make an average of $50,000 a year. Well, in 4 or 5 years, that's the cost of a house. And you don't have any plan with where that money's going to go. It's like you're setting out to build a house and you don't have a clue where the walls go, what size you're going to frame out anything. We get people thinking along those mindsets. You have to get a plan, you have to get a budget in place. And then from there, those who are in debt, we're able to show them simple ways. Once they're on that budget, let's forget about how much debt you owe, but what are your necessity budget payments going to be? We'll get that ironed out. And then we'll take this debt and put it together in a package and get a game plan on how to work through it as quickly and efficiently as possible to where they can start climbing and going the other direction to where, they aren't somebody else's asset on a balance sheet, but they can start building their own assets. So that's usually the beginning steps. And one thing I usually caution people too is my wife and I never charge anything for trying to help people out, pay it forward and be a blessing. If we're sitting down with a single or couple or whatever, we might say, hey, pull up Amazon, put this book in your shopping cart, buy it, start reading it, let's talk. And that usually thins out about 80 to 90% of the people that are serious. We know that if they're not going to spend $20 on a book that contains all the keys they need to completely change their financial future, they're not going to listen to anything else you have to say. They're not going to be serious and take the steps, especially when it gets hard. man, we're scrimping and saving and clipping coupons and trying to turn our financial house around. If they're not willing to do that small step of a little book or taking the time to actually sit down and read it, then that usually ends our mentoring relationship with those folks pretty fast. I have had to have that conversation with people where I say, hey, I can't help you until you finish this step. But when you do finish this step, we're here to help. So yeah, we would always start people on that and caution them that it's going to take work and it might take some finances in some areas that you don't think are valuable at this point. That 30,000 foot view, you don't have the information, you don't have the roadmap of where you're going.
Right.
But as folks who have been through it, back in that time when my wife was calling me about the price of it, we were paying, I think we had something like over $70,000 in consumer debt alone. Credit card, truck payment. We were paying something like $1,500 a month and we weren't chiseling away at the principal. It was suffocating. So for someone who has climbed out of that pit and has seen every step of the way, we just try to share that and counsel people with that. Hey, we've been there. We know the pressure you're under. We know what it seems like. We know what your opinionated brother-in-law is telling you right now. And he's the financial expert, but he's in worse debt than you are. Listen to him for a bit. When we're ready to learn and grow and realize that some of what you know just ain't so. Once you're willing to humble yourself a little bit and do those steps, we're here to help. That's what we always caution people and try to get people going down that road.
Wow, that's excellent. Good for you. It's setting boundaries where the people coming to others for help have to be willing to also do the help that you're asking for. No one can do these things for you. It does eliminate those that maybe they're just not ready to mentally take that leap, but creates an opportunity for that space to be open for someone who is.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that you're doing that because sometimes people think it's going to be like a genie in the bottle.
Yeah, sure.
Oh man, I really messed up. Let me just make that magic wish, you know, and rub the lantern and have the genie come and fix everything. People think it's just manipulating, you know, taking a dollar and using it in different places. But the biggest and hardest step is what goes on up here between our two ears. When you are helping people and they make that decision to order the book, and then they make the decision to actually open it and not just leave it sitting on the counter forever, that's when change starts happening. And in doing that, it's little baby steps. And before you know it, you'll be looking back going, oh my gosh, how did I got here? Well, I didn't even, and what's really, it's not like a lightning bolt. And it's like, oh my God, I'm financially free and I can do this. Because as we grow, our lives grow. We make good decisions. Sometimes we make similar decisions that are disguised, but are really the same decisions as they were before. But we have the tools to pivot out of this, refocus. When I think about it, it's like the airplane on automatic pilot. It's not just like logged into one destination and its system is just, it's locked into that destination, but it's constantly making little adjustments. When you drive a car, you hang on to the wheel. If you actually look at your hand when you don't have a car that's driving itself, you are doing tiny little movements to that wheel to keep it going straight and in between those lines to drive effectively on the road.
And to the point about the title of your podcast, not a bad title. I tell people that when you're hurting and you're first starting off, it seems like you don't have any options.
Yes.
But when you start to put those financial pieces in place and follow the correct steps, you'll get to a point where it seems like magic that these opportunities present themselves. Like I was just a few months ago where I'm like, wait, I can literally purchase this entire house for cash. Like that's mind blowing to me. These things will come to you seemingly out of the blue, but they actually were there because you put the right steps in place early on. You did the work. You provided for your house. There's a saying I love that says you dug your well before you were thirsty, right? You started the efforts and putting in the discipline and the steps to make sure that when the hard times came, when the storm hit, or when the opportunities were available, you were ready. You had the resources and the discipline to follow through.
There is never the wrong time to start. People keep thinking, well, I want to do real estate, but I don't really like the market right now. And I'm hearing a lot of negativity. So I'll wait. No, start now, fill that well so that at any time and any moment, you know, listen, I remember when interest rates were 18%. people were still buying real estate. People were still doing investments in real estate, if that's the asset class that you want to start to look into. Anything can be done in any market. The biggest thing is making sure that you're doing the right steps to get there. The best time to start is now. It just
Sure.
does, they don't have to be big steps. One of the things that I found, there's a book that I read, and it helps me because I'm a creator and my head will go in a million different directions with lots of great ideas. But to get me to focus in on one and just stay focused on the one is very difficult. And so, I found that Atomic Habits, I can't remember the author's name. Someone else took a spin-off on that, which helped me with the way my brain works. And I'll put these in my resources on my website. I can't remember the author's name. It's called Elastic Habits. Because what I found in time blocking and all of these things is that I may think something's going to take me X amount of time to do, whether it's, I'm going to give myself a year to buy a property. Well, it might take longer than that. You haven't failed because you haven't achieved that goal. It just means that the goal might be a little bit further out, but as long as you're working towards that goal, you're succeeding. And just like you said, that God gave you the experiences that you had to open your eyes up to where you were to be where you are today. You had a destination of some sort in mind. Usually, as we get more knowledge, we think we want this one thing. Then, the more knowledge we get, we realize that door opens, and behind that door is an amazing universe of selection and choices. And I'm not talking material choices. Yes, that is a part of it, but there's opportunities, there's emotion, there's so much more fullness to life and richness to life. That's what a financial journey should be, not just numbers and a balance in a checkbook. Because I'll open the floor to you after I say this last one. I want to hear your input on it. For your financial destination, like if I like to look at what can I do with what I have now? And also, we don't know when our last day on in this form and this planet is. And if we continue to work to get to a destination to then enjoy our lives, I know a lot of people that have just worked, 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 and then they retire and then they die in 6 months. So, like, what do you do to live now and continue to work towards your financial destination and future? Like, what does all that big picture look like for you?
Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, definitely scripture says that tomorrow isn't promised to us. None of us knows the day nor the hour that we'll take our last breath or our heart will stop beating. So today is the gift we've been given and we have to be responsible with it. We try to live that in every area with our faith as well as our finances. A lot of times those are highly meshed together. It takes finances to do some of these works of faith and charity. Right now, our family is heavily involved in serving local communities. We work in the pregnancy help resource. Our church has a pregnancy help center that offers free counseling, adoption services, spiritual counseling, formula, diapers, car seats, whatever we can do at no charge to local moms and dads in need. And we try to help with job placement. Anything we can do there. Our church has been heavily involved with the border crisis, where we've got tens of thousands of people flooding up against our border from all over the world. We've personally met people from seven different countries and three continents. It's not just people from Mexico trying to enter. A lot of these folks are legitimately trying to enter legally, but they're kind of in a holding pattern at the border until their stuff gets approved. They are filling up these migrant camps along our border towns on a regular basis. We travel down into Tijuana. We'll do turnaround trips because we're in Southern California. Our pastor and some of our teams have gone into border towns over Texas and Arizona and stuff. And we'll go into, like, on an average Tijuana turnaround trip, we'll go down, we'll be at a Sam's Club in Tijuana at 8 o'clock when they open, buy rice, beans, coffee, sugar, peanut butter, and anything we can, feminine hygiene products, diapers, and we will fill three truckloads full. And then we will take them around to these different migrant camps and try to be a blessing, just giving out food, giving out Bibles, trying to be at help, praying with people, doing worship services with them. Recently, we've had an opportunity back in February when I got started in the Slow Flip time. I was able to spend 8 days with my youngest daughter, my pastor, and a couple of his kids and some others. We went down to Cuba for a missions trip for like 8 days, kind of doing kind of similar, just people who are severely impoverished. They're just living in a rough situation. And just kind of going down, bringing resources and bringing hope. So it's something that, you know, you ask that question, what are you working towards? I'd like to say, yeah, the ultimate goal is passive income, retirement. But what does that mean? That I sit around on a pile of money and do nothing and waste away and I'm selfish about it? I can't see that. As I'm putting up dream boards and as I'm focusing on the future, tying purpose into the equation so much. You know, if I'm making $50,000 a month in passive income, well, I'm going to do a dream board budget on that. I'm making $50,000 a month. That means right off the top, my church is going to get $5,000 a month. And then, you know, I'm going to want to take another 20% of that. I'm going to take another $10,000 and every month to find a different church or charity program or family in need. I give out the money as fast as possible. I'll worry about how to pay taxes and live off the rest. You know, our faith is so deeply entwined with our plans that I don't feel like I can wait until that day where my passive income is past my working income to start doing that stuff. I have to put that in place now. I love Atomic Habits. I've been through that two or three times, and I can't wait for you to share the link to the other one. I'm going to scoop that one up as well. Another couple I've read and really recommend to any of your entrepreneurial listeners, Profit First.
Yes.
And Profit First for Real Estate Investors. I've been through those. And just recently, when getting the Slow Flips going, I was able to change our finances and bank accounts around a little bit. I start focusing on that. And not only do we have our profit account that we're tucking into, but we have our charity account there too. And so at the same time, we are being blessed. We're being a blessing. And I personally don't feel that I would have success by any meaningful standard if I neglected to love my neighbor, if I neglected to do for others what they couldn't do for themselves, or to reach out and be a blessing where I am uniquely positioned to do so.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, we've run out of time, but I think what a beautiful note to end the podcast on. I mean, 'cause I could go on and on about this aspect of it. And it's just been such a joy having you here. Do you want to share with your listener, with our listeners, where they can reach you? I'll have this in the show notes and on the website.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, Candace. And really look forward to working with you more in the Slow Flip group and learning from each other as we go. People can email me at Jason, that's J-A-S-P-E-R, properties.net, or they can call and text 501-777-5508. Reach out if we can recommend a book, if we can schedule a time for, you know, Zoom or in-person counseling if you're in the Southern California area. And occasionally we get out to other, you know, we're in Utah, we're in Phoenix a lot. We got family and business partners all over. If we can help with something, we'd love to be able to do so.
And also in the show notes, Jason, if you will give me the charity, the organization that you go down in case people want to contribute some funds to that as well. I think that would be an awesome thing to be able to have.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll figure out if there's a link to our local crisis pregnancy centers. I think right now the stuff is done through our church, but we could figure it out. And if ever somebody wanted to reach out and contact me, because I'm the treasurer for our church, so if somebody wanted to make a tax deductible donation, we can arrange to take it through the church. They would get a giving statement at the end of the year. And then they could designate it. They could say, yeah, we want this to help with the missions outreach in Cuba or Mexico. We'll make sure it gets to the right place and wisely spent. So
awesome. Thank you. I didn't want to leave that out because that's such a wonderful thing if someone connected with that and wanted to help out.
Really,
well, I want to thank you again for being on the podcast. And I want to thank all our listeners for taking the time out. Your time is valuable and it's greatly appreciated. You are the genie in the bottle. Do something today that your future self will thank you for. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy the day.
Thank you, Candace. Take care.
The info in this podcast is straight from our personal experiences. You alone possess the power to manifest your desires. You are the genie in the bottle, awaiting your command. So ask smart questions. We're not licensed financial pros, so be sure to consult with a licensed professional, attorney, or tax consultant.